Okay, I'll go ahead and go through these instructions one more time, and then we'll get started. Again, my name is Brian. My email address is editor@marketingexperiments.com. If you have any questions or problems throughout the conference, I'll be monitoring that email account. Some key commands that you might find useful. *4 will increase the volume on your line if you're having any trouble hearing. *6 will mute your line, which with the ringing in the background may want to do. I can also mute your lines manually, in which case you should be able to unmute your line by hitting *6 if you have any questions during the conference. The URL again is mecgroups.com/MEC_research_log, and we'll ask you to refresh that page several times as we add some tables and other data. Some upcoming research that we have scheduled. We should be releasing several briefs in the next week or two, including part two of our blueprint, our marketing blueprint. We'll be releasing the spam brief, which we had a clinic on just last week. We'll be releasing this brief on overstock auctions probably within a week. Other upcoming research includes optimizing your order path and pay-per-click ad copy, which is also the topic of our next scheduled web clinic on June 8th. We'll be testing pay-per-click ad copy again. If you'd like to reserve a spot in that clinic, you can go ahead and email me at editor@marketingexperiments.com, and I will get a spot reserved for you. One more time, the URL is mecgroups.com/MEC_research_log. My email address is editor@marketingexperiments.com if you have any questions or problems with the notes. And at this time, I'd like to introduce Dr. Flint McLaughlin, who will be our primary presenter. You can read a brief biography of Dr. McLaughlin in the notes. And here he is.
Thank you, Brian. Brian's done a lot of work on this and this particular issue. Also, Jalali Hartman, who is an expert in marketplaces, who was the co-founder of Marketplace Manager, has also been very involved and is on this site, is on this phone call and will be helping us. In the meantime, because of the amount of material that I have here, we're going to get started very soon. I would like to point out that since this is an evaluation of a particular vendor, in particular Overstock.com as compared to eBay.com, please know at the outset that we do not and are not remunerated for conducting research on Overstock.com's, they didn't pay us to do this report, just to cut to the bottom line. What we're going to say here comes from our own research, neither did eBay. And so with that in mind, we're going to get into it. The big question is, you know, how does Overstock auctions compare to eBay, and how effective is Overstock auctions, and should a retailer use Overstock auctions to sell products, and what are the 10 strategies that you would want to utilize if you were going to optimize, or you were going to use Overstock to optimize your listings. And then there's supplemental information, which we probably will not get into in this call. We'll see. We will release supplemental information with the report. The reason I'm calling it supplemental is it's a bit academic with some fairly complicated formulas, and I don't want to, I don't want to take away from this call's relevance to your absolute business needs, but we have a supplemental section we'll be releasing when we release this report that actually addresses how competitive, essentially how big a threat is Overstock to eBay, and we look at certain math calculations based on something called the pressure index. We'll not go there today, I don't believe, but we will begin to get into the practical questions that many of you probably have if you're considering how you can use Overstock as a potential new channel for your marketing. With all of that in mind, I'm going to get started. But Jalali, I want to give you permission to interact with me or interject. Jalali's a senior analyst in marketplace and strategy, and he's on our staff here. But he's really quite brilliant, and he's been the primary writer on this report. So feel free to jump in. I have other staff members on here also. Jimmy, you feel free to jump in, and Jimmy Ellis is a senior analyst with us in optimization, and there are probably others from my team as well. So let's begin with, some preliminary information. Online marketplaces like Google, Yahoo, eBay, and Amazon are competitive and often quite expensive. A new marketplace open to all retailers is a welcome addition to the online playing field. I want to stop there, and I'm kind of deviating from the report. Let me just point out that one of the big problems with online offerings right now is it's very difficult to scale up. Before long, you have literally bought all the search traffic you can afford in you know, the main engines like Google and Overture. You begin trying typically to use the smaller engines. Some of them work well for you. Most of them aren't worth the time it takes to set them up and use them effectively. So, you know, you lose some time and money there as you begin searching for what to do next. You hear that affiliate programs are good. So in this typical scenario, you go out and start an affiliate program. And if you're like most affiliate programs, it doesn't work. 90% of the time, they're done inadequately, and they're set up with several tactical mistakes, and they just don't work. One of the problems with affiliate marketing, per se, is that it's designed to eliminate value propositions. Essentially, when 500 people are selling the same item, where is differentiation? Who has competitive advantage? The only person that's benefiting from the affiliate program in many cases is the primary party who launched it, and often the affiliates figure that out, and before long there's a fall off. Now, don't get me wrong, we've done a lot of research in affiliate programs, and we found those that work. We have research partners right now that we work with who probably 80% of the revenue comes from affiliates. So it can be done correct, and we have studies on that on our site. The problem is it's hard to scale up after you've bought your search traffic, after you have tried your affiliate programs, after you've tapped whatever strategic alliances you can, after you've emailed to your house list, after you've given up on bulk emailing, as most of us have. Most of us, there are ways to still bulk email and do it with permission-based lists and to do it properly. But in most cases, you know, if you bought some list that you heard about on the internet, you nearly got shut down for spamming and all kinds of issues. If depending on how long you've been on the net, you know the kind of problems you can have with that. And eventually you come to this place where you don't know what to do next. And because of that, when the new channel comes along like Overstock, everyone's eager to see, is this a new way for me to add revenue to the bottom line? And that really is what makes this conference today so essential to many of us. I don't think most of us are contemplating, you know, can we get rid of eBay altogether and replace him with Overstock, although I understand that eBay's fee structure and recent changes have caused many of their power sellers to question the longevity there. The real question is there a new way for me on the internet that is worth my investment that could help to increase my revenue? And that's the reason that we're involved with this right now. And the only caveat to that big question is most of us are missing the opportunities to use offline marketing in combination with our online, and there's real gains to be made there when we think it through. On to the big question, how effective is Overstock.com's new auction platform? In our recent testing, we looked at the new Overstock auctions platform and compared it to eBay, as eBay is considered more or less the benchmark in online auctions. And we asked the question, how well does Overstock compare to eBay? And, you know, purely based on the numbers, Overstock still has a ways to go before it can be considered a competitive with a giant like eBay. In 2003, Overstock was able to sell just 1% of eBay's total volume. An eBay spokesperson pointed out in a recent article that Overstock has the same number of total auction listings as eBay has in one relatively obscure comic book category. If you'll look in your notes right now, by refreshing your page, you'll see where we've dropped a chart in there for you that compares sales from 2001 through 2003 in Overstock and in eBay. What you need to understand is that while Overstock is quickly growing, top-ranked e-commerce site, it still only generates about 1% of the total volume that eBay does as of these numbers. By the way, the source of this, which we'll release in the report, comes from the actual annual reports from eBay. That's why we don't have the most current numbers. Looking purely at sales numbers, it could be easy to write off Overstock as just another e-commerce site with very little traffic. In fact, while eBay seems to be leveling off a bit in terms of traffic, Overstock is actually growing, and this is important. If you look at the second chart that should be appearing in your notes now, refresh your page, and you'll notice that, you know, look at the difference in eBay versus Overstock on monthly unique visits. If you look at those actual numbers, 2004, 53.6 million, 2005, 7.6 million, and then along with Overstock's numbers, 6.3 million, and in 2005, $11.5 million. Here's what you need to understand. In February of 2005, the Nielsen Net Rating reported that Overstock.com was the fastest growing online shopping destination with an 83% increase in traffic over the previous year. For that same period, eBay saw a 17% drop in traffic. So with the introduction of auctions, Overstock.com is now comparable to eBay in terms of functionality. Buyers can easily find good deals on new and used merchandise, and sellers now have an additional channel through which to sell their goods. The auctions vice president, Holly McDonald Korth, manages the new auction offering and is excited about its growth. And I quote her here, Overstock Auctions is growing quickly and is 30% less expensive than eBay as a sales channel, and we have millions of shoppers. Korth offered more information in a recent interview that we conducted with her. eBay represents significantly more buyers, however, than Overstock, but as our research indicates, marketers should be careful not to dismiss Overstock as a viable sales and marketing channel. eBay gets over 13.1 billion page views per month, while Overstock gets 330 million. On the surface, it would appear that Overstock does not have the buying traffic to support hundreds of thousands of independent retailers the way eBay currently does. But we decided to actually test the new marketplace ourselves by posting listings in both. And part of the meat in this report that we're releasing right now has to do with our findings from a very simple microtest. In the online auction community, whenever a new marketplace enters the playing field, there seems to be an almost morbid fascination with the idea that a lurking upstart might arise from obscurity to capture market share. Overstock.com was ranked the fastest growing online shopping destination by Nielsen, as we've discussed. So in an effort to determine how effective this new auction channel is, we created a microtest placing identical listings on both eBay and Overstock. First thing we took note of was the amount of time it took to actually list a product on each site. If you look at Web Conference Chart 3 or Web Clinic Chart 3 in your notes, it should be refreshed now, you'll notice that eBay, number of steps was 5, and Overstock, the number of steps was 3. Time required for one was 9 minutes and 55 seconds. The time required for Overstock was 8 minutes and 45 seconds. So there's a slight difference. There's certainly a reduction in steps, which is good, but the overall time was about the same. So then we let our 5-item microtest run for 3 days and watched as buyers browsed around our auction listing on each site. At the end of the test, we had no sales on either site, but we did receive a substantial amount of traffic to each listing. So in this version of the test, please notice what happened by looking at the new chart that's going to appear in your notes. This will be chart number 4. I won't read all of the items, except to point out that the key here is that the 5 products above generated 76 views on eBay and only 48% on Overstock, and the average cost per view is shown in the table below. Overstock generated about 60% of the traffic that eBay did, but it cost us 38% less, which is critical. When we compared the actual cost of the traffic per view on each marketplace, we found it was nearly identical. eBay Auctions, CPM, and you can look at a new chart in your notes right now. Chart number 5 should be appearing if you refresh your page. The views per listing were 15.02 for eBay, whereas for Overstock, they were 9.6. But both eBay and Overstock auction listings averaged about 0.07 cents per page view. So eBay auctions received significantly more page views per listing than Overstock. From our perspective as an online retailer, Overstock was equally effective as eBay. Now, we think that both ads could be optimized and or both, you know, sites could have been optimized, and we're conducting serious tests subsequent to these. I want to point out that before this report is actually released in the print version, we'll be telling you more from other studies and other research that we're doing, other listings that we have and that we are.
Can you get that on?
In the meantime, we might have someone mute their phone for us. They're having that at *6.
Sal.
Good. All right. So with all that in mind,
can I get your number and call you back?
Could Brian go ahead and mute the whole system for now, and then we'll unmute it here in just a moment.
Okay.
So what we've pointed out is that essentially overstock is not because of the amount of traffic, but because of its cost factor, is so far looking like a viable competitor, because volume is not the only factor in sales, and cost is obviously a key as well. But we still haven't clearly answered, should a retailer use overstock options to sell products? And I want to get to this by answering more specifically, what does all this data mean to the average retailer trying to make the big decision? So to do that, I'm going to ask you to bear with me. Before we're done in this call, we're going to actually give you a spreadsheet tool that will help you compare things side by side. And in a few moments, I'm going to ask Jalali to explain a simple formula that we've developed. But we're going to move now into this section where we can help you to kind of get very granular as you think about should you utilize overstock. And by the way, after we give you the tool, we're going to actually lay down for you a series of key optimization principles that we've discovered in the process of our testing. So with that in mind, I'm going to move on to this new section. As we've learned about overstock strategy for auctions, we found that there may be significant opportunity for a retailer to sell very profitably through this new channel. When evaluating any new marketplace, there are several factors to consider related to overall viability and profitability. A retailer should not just look at pure ROI or return on investment, but also consider the amount of time required to list the product, which we can argue is a part of ROI, but sometimes is not tracked as a specific cost. Retailers should also take into account the overall branding opportunity, as branding is one of the key reasons to run and maintain a multi-channel retail campaign. People say that doesn't matter on the internet, but it does, and all the more so amidst the fact that people are only a click away from your competitor. So here's a formula that can be used to approximate the effectiveness of an online channel. And web chart 6 now should be in your notes, and if you'll refresh them, you should see them. Brian, for those that may have joined us late, just go ahead and give us the URL that these notes are in, and then we'll get into explaining the chart that we just dropped in.
Okay. The URL is mecgroups.com/MEC_research_log. And
also,
you'll have to refresh your page to see the new tables as we add them. Go ahead, sorry.
Also, you may want to, we're going to unmute the phone again so that as we start to explain this chart, you may have questions that we need to answer to help you make sure you follow this. Essentially, there is a index, M equals FP plus 2FC plus FB, whereas time T equals time, C equals cost, and B equals branding opportunity. Now, if that sounds daunting, we're going to explain it very carefully for you. And I'm going to ask Jalali to go ahead and take over here, and if you'd like, Jalali, explain it as best you can for those that are trying to understand how they can apply this. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, basically, when we look at any new marketing channel, whether you're a retailer or whether you're a publisher going out and advertising on Google, you like to look at a couple different things. One is the average time per order. So that's, in this case, it would be to list the product out there for sale, to process the orders, to answer any customer service around it. And traditionally, a site like eBay has been a little bit more intensive than, say, pushing a data feed out to, Shopzilla and having the traffic come back to your website. So in that scenario, a marketplace like eBay or Overstock has always had a little bit more time, a little bit higher number of touch points per order than, say, your website does. So that's definitely one thing to consider, especially on a large scale when you're doing thousands and thousands of listings and hundreds of orders a day. That's something that takes into effect or comes into effect. But one of the things that we did for this, just to sort of compare Overstock to eBay, is we said we assumed that we'd be using a third-party software provider. And there's a couple links there, Fopia, Channel Advisor, Noble Spirit, were a few that Overstock listed that work both on eBay and Overstock. So essentially, the time If you're comparing the two, is the same because you're just essentially just letting the tool take care of it. Cost is sort of the second thing. What I've done in this is I've actually weighted cost. So cost is worth double what the other two are worth. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, when you're calculating ROI, your listing and selling fees get taken out of there, as do any PayPal or credit card processing fees. And then finally, branding opportunity. In the past, I think particularly for eBay power sellers, hasn't been as important. But as you, as sort of the successful power sellers have risen up and you know, continue to have viable businesses, their branding, the fact that they have websites, the fact that they're on multiple channels, you know, becomes more and more important. And what I've used as we're sort of comparing this is branding is sort of the total traffic or the total amount of you know, buyers you're going to get by listing out to a marketplace. So it's a simple formula, but essentially, if you go through and actually, because the costs are different, and if you want to come up with a marketplace index for each marketplace, it comes out to Overstock has a 2.84 and eBay has a 4. And the reason that is because eBay has about just a much higher amount of traffic, but slightly proportionate less or slightly proportionate higher costs. And there's a link number one. If you actually go to the URL, there's a spreadsheet that you can download. And what that is designed to do is just give you, based on the as you guys know, eBay and Overstock both have a sort of tiered pricing model. What it allows you to do is just put in you know, your average sale, your average margin, your credit card processing fees, and all the different things that you need to put into an ROI equation, and essentially plug in and see what your conversion rate on eBay, what your close rate on eBay or Overstock would need to be for you to be successful. And usually what you'll find is the two most important aspects are how much profit margin you have to work with, and the big one is what percentage of the listings that you create actually end in a sale. Because with either of these places, you don't want to be listing a large volume of product that doesn't sell, because essentially the way their fee structures work, the listing fees can add up if you're not generating any revenue out of those auctions. There is one thing that is we didn't take into account in this, and that is the fact that Overstock still allows you to link off of your listing back to your website.
That's very critical. Very good point.
The reason I didn't emphasize it too much is because I would imagine that sooner or later that feature will go away. It doesn't appear there's definitely restrictions on putting things like JavaScript and different, you know, redirects into your listing, but in terms of just being able to drive traffic, and in the early days, as I'm sure a lot of you guys remember, that was one of the main benefits to using eBay, is you not only sold things, but you could drive a little bit of traffic back to your website. So that's sort of the formula. And when we release the report, you'll see a little bit more in-depth how we actually compare these two.
All right, now we're going to get into. Are you through that formula section, Brian? At this point, I mean, Jalali. At this point, then,
yes.
Or have you? Okay. So I want to point out for those of you that are still not following it, and because of the meat that we've got coming for you, in terms of how to, Jalali has built our team has built a spreadsheet that can help you to do this analysis automatically. So if you'll go ahead and take them to the link, Jalali, and explain the spreadsheet to them.
Yeah, if everyone wants to open that up, it's just an Excel spreadsheet, and I sort of went through it a little bit, but basically what you need to do is there's a series of tabs down at the lower, a series of different worksheets that you need to essentially pick the one that matches your average sale price. And I know people probably sell all types of different products, but just to get a sense for it, you know, pick one that is pick sort of your average sale and plug in, open up that worksheet and plug in anything that's in yellow. You can actually change the number. So if I wanted to make my average sale of $50, my average markup is 10%. How many listings I do a month, And then percentage of listings that result in a sale, that's a key one. And what it will do is it will take all of both eBay and Overstock's fees into account and actually tell you what your profit would be on each marketplace. Now, one thing that this does not take into account is anything over $1,000, any items over $1,000. It's essentially basing everything off just a standard auction listing as well. So no reserve, no featuring options, but it just sort of gives you an idea. Just a general rule of thumb, what Overstock has done is they have actually, it looks like most of their fees are about two-thirds of what eBay is, and that's you know, that seems to be, including the featuring options, that seems to be sort of what they've come up with. One thing that's not in here is they do offer volume discounts for large power sellers. So companies that are selling, you know, thousands and thousands of, or listing thousands of items, you're going to get an additional discount on your listing fees. So this is just a tool. You can run some sort of what-if scenarios and figure out how much money you'd be potentially saving by, you know, listing to one marketplace versus the other. So that's that. Does anyone have any questions on that?
I'm going to move forward and continue through this thing. If you got questions, feel free to come back to them later. In the meantime, let's keep covering this this material. Hopefully, what Jalali's given you is information that'll help you to kind of make some of these decisions. But let's go beyond that and say, let's suppose that you are still contemplating what are the advantages or disadvantages. We'll move through those quickly, and then we're going to look at the 10 most effective strategies for optimizing the auctions. The first reason that you may want to consider Overstock is that it is growing rapidly and their staff is aggressively driving more and more traffic to the auction channel. And auction listings will soon be integrated into Overstock's main shopping channel, which will only increase the bidding and buying activity in Overstock options.
Can I just interject one thing there, Flynn?
Yeah, please.
I'm sorry. That is something that is sort of a new development. A lot of you probably have heard about it, but essentially it's some sort of certified seller program. If you're certified, you're going to show up in Overstock's main search. That's actually pretty important because right now approximately 10% of the Overstock.com traffic is going over to auctions. And once that search integration is done, essentially you'll be, at least theoretically, you'll have just a significant amount more traffic going into the auction channel. And that's last I heard that was scheduled to launch sometime in the next few weeks.
Okay, and also Overstock is still small enough to field phone calls and provide live customer service, and they're more receptive to suggestions from the seller community, it seems. It is not saturated. This is number three, with listings in many categories, such as you would find in eBay, and so savvy retailers can create a smart listing schedule that will allow them to have strong presence in one or more categories. Number four, listing to Overstock allows you to reach a slightly different demographic than the one you will find on eBay. And number five, if you're an existing eBay seller, listing to Overstock auctions diversifies your marketing effort and makes you less susceptible to market-specific trends. And number six, pockets of opportunity exist in any new marketplace, and as an early adopter, you can take advantage of limited competition, low fees, and the marketing efforts of a hungry, innovative team. So that sounds like a commercial for Overstock. It is not. We just want to know what works, and we want to get the information to you, and if it doesn't work, we'll tell you the same thing. And we're still in our studies, and we've still got more things we want to discover before we release this final report. But let's talk about key strategies for optimizing Overstock auctions. Let's get down to, you know, critical things you can do that will make a difference. Here's how to optimize, and here's what to think about when you're trying to determine, you know, how to get the most out of your relationship with someone like Overstock. Number one, build your personal and professional network rating. We started with zero feedback and noticed an improvement after we had received just a few positive ratings. That's very critical. Jimmy, are you on the phone? If you're on, break in here a little bit, Jimmy. The reality is some of these groups like BizRate, whose rating is very critical, requires so many ratings before they can actually give you a ranking that very difficult. And we think that now customer service in this environment is more or less a marketing expense because it affects actual conversion. offline, you know, customer service was important, but it wasn't necessarily a marketing expense. But in this day, with instant feedback on places like Yahoo or places like BizRate or in the seller sites, you know, on eBay or in Overstock, it's critical to consider everything necessary to get those ratings as high as possible, because we have tested and we've released some research showing the difference that the difference between, you know, a 4-star rating and a 5-star rating can make, say, on conversion. Certainly the difference between a 3-star rating and a 4 is quite significant. Sell items in categories that do not have a lot of merchandise yet. This is point number 2. Overstock Auctions is a new marketplace and still needs quality merchandise in some of the categories. In many cases, a large retailer could easily be the largest seller in any category. Number 3, be aware of Overstock's existing customer profile. These are people who are looking for discounts, and 66% of all Overstock's current shopping customers are women, 28 through 45 years of age. Number 4, list items with a Make It Mine option and start items 20% less than your Make It Mine price. Jolly, explain the Make It Mine feature, if you would.
Make It Mine is just their version of Buy It Now. So essentially what they're saying, and this actually came from the Overstock staff as a recommendation, is to start items with an auction price that is 20% of what you'd like your Buy It Now or Make It Mine price, but I actually include the Make It Mine. So people come in, they see the lower price, they can either bid on the item or they can go ahead and buy it outright.
Okay. All right. Well, then let me move on to another point. Display a counter in your listings. Listings that appear to have a lot of interest generate more bids than other listings. Now, that can work both ways. Dolly, I'll let you comment on that also. Go ahead.
This is actually something that, again, a second point that I think this was Holly suggested, and that's just, I agree, items that get just a few hits are not, you know, people look at them and they say, well, no one's looking at this. But I think in general, people like to see that there's activity. People like to see that other people are bidding on items. It tends to, on eBay, that's been happening for a long time. Things that, people get into a bidding frenzy, or there starts to be a lot of activity around an item. And something to do with traffic here that's just sort of a good practice in an auction, even for a big retailer who's, they're thinking, well, we don't want to do auctions. We don't auction things off. That's not our brand, that kind of thing. There's a lot that you can do with just running a few sort of loss leader auctions on either of these sites, any of these sites, where you're starting things at a very low price and using the traffic that generates and the activity that generates to drive people into your website or over to your eBay store or over to your other listings. So something to sort of a good practice.
And that's a critical point, because many of us, when we're dealing with low margins, as you often are in the auction marketplaces, think that the name of the game here is to generate revenue, i.e. profits from the product, when in fact profits may be generated by the acquisition of a customer, and the auction marketplaces are a superb way to acquire both traffic and customers. Traffic you can get into your site, or customers that you can therefore interact with ancillary offers. The reality is that if someone purchases something from you on eBay or Overstock, you now own that name and you now own that relationship. And in reality, even if you broke even at in getting that person in there, if you have an effective ancillary follow-up sales opportunity taking place on your website or in some other location, if you have ancillary sales, meaning related products that you can push that would have appeal to that buyer, that means if there are reorders required, to get very simple, one of our research partners has done a tremendous amount of revenue using just selling batteries, and ostensibly they work with an electronic product that requires batteries. The reality is you can use the auction sites to acquire a customer and then somehow get them into some type of product that requires recurring orders or revenue. I'm a huge believer in the internet and recurring revenue. That's why we do so much work with subscription sites. Fundamentally, too many of us come to the internet with an offline marketing philosophy that we try to translate online and simply adapt it, and it's a mistake. The internet gives you an opportunity to acquire a customer, develop an interactive relationship, and essentially it's one of the most amazing components in the history of the world for translating influence into money. Most of us do not think about it that way. I looked at a site that was generating significant, significant revenue, and I'm talking, $50 to $70 million in revenue, and yet they had a very difficult time winning a profit because they were entrenched in the comparison markets in order to get first position. They had to have the lowest price to get the lowest price. They had to, sacrifice profits. And so essentially, low margins was a marketing cost used to get high search rankings, which translated into lots and lots of sales. And I looked at them and said, you're missing the whole component here. You're thinking of yourself as selling these parts in the comparison engines, but essentially you are aggregating transactions and winning, several hundred customers per day. You need to take those customers and create influence with them and monetize that. And so I think many of us are just too simplistic when we look at places like Overstock and eBay, and essentially there's a life cycle. And if you're very smart, you last longer. The less sophisticated buyer, he comes in and he tries to do a simple thing that he saw someone else doing, and he wins some small business that turns out to be highly time-consuming. And if he has no better options, he continues with it for a while, if not for a long time. The more sophisticated buyer starts finding ways to secure products at unusual prices and begins to drive up and build up until he becomes an eBay, the equivalent of a power seller. Problem is, many of your power sellers on eBay are absolutely frustrated. They seem huge to the new guy coming into eBay, but they look around and say, for all of this work, I could be one of these other guys, and they think about other groups on the internet who are doing far more and far better than they are. The reality is, all they have done is it's like driving into Wendy's and doing a biggie version of your fries. You've upsized the same old model. And upsizing the same old model, not only does it increase, your size and your revenue, it simply, as a factor, increases your problems. You have the same problem as the smaller, just larger versions of it. We have to think differently about places like Overstock if we're really going to be effective. We have to view it as an opportunity to win, influence, and aggregate customers and somehow elicit residual income and therefore turn customers into longer-term relationships. So I might say that what Jalali just pointed out is actually far more significant than you may think when you hear him. The idea that Overstock allows you to do something eBay used to allow you to do, and now they do not, is really remarkable, and that is that you can still link to other sites. I hope Overstock keeps that. I would encourage them to keep that because, candidly, it gives them a significant competitive advantage over eBay. eBay doesn't let you link directly back to the other sites in the way that you can on Overstock, and that is a tremendous way to monetize your investment on Overstock. I also would point out that along the way, you should be capturing email addresses and utilizing them. The best and most effective way to get a spike in your retail is a good email campaign to a house list. And a house list is somebody who's given you permission and come to you directly. Man, there's opportunities there that I see most retailers leaving under-harvested. We should be capturing at least 5% of all the visitors to our website. I mean, much more if you can, but most of the sites that I study are capturing right around 1%. If that with their poor email capture strategy. So I would encourage those of you that are either large retailers or small retailers and you're thinking about Overstock to go back and look at your strategy again and ask yourself, what is it that I'm really doing here? Another example of how to rethink about this, I was talking I can't tell you what state it is, but to the largest pizza delivery or the pizza franchise in that state, and as I looked at them and they were grappling with strategic issues, I said, what business are you in? They said, we sell pizzas. I said, no, you're not, and no, you don't. You're a franchise, and what you really are is marketers, and do you realize you're the second largest deliverer of packages in the state next to, I think it was FedEx or UPS? And they stopped and said, what do you mean? I said, I've calculated your numbers, and I realize how many pizzas you deliver across the state makes you the number two carrier in this entire state. What are you doing with the top of your pizza boxes? And they stopped for a moment. I said, do you realize how much advertising display space that's worth? I said, more than that. I said, why don't we put a CD on top of this pizza box and sell and actually, you know, get a, cut a deal with a record company and do the samplers and get them to pay. It changed their whole business model because they thought their business was pizza delivery. It was not. They were actually superb marketers, and because of that, they were going into the home of thousands of people every single day, right into their home. Who gets to do that? And if I send a direct mail piece to somebody in their home, typically it ends up in their garbage because you read the mail in order to eliminate what you don't want to read. You trash it. But in their case, when someone brings a pizza box in, everybody pays attention to it. I don't mean to digress, and I'm not digressing. The point is very specific to what I'm talking about when I think about overstock. I would encourage you to rethink what it means to be involved in the Internet in one of these marketplaces. Ask yourself what the real play is. Some of you right now should be taking traffic that is coming to buy your product and offering them a discounted in order to get super high response, and then converting that into a subscription offering, a buying club, or some reason why they would give you a little bit of money every month. You combine your sale with an automatic free trial, you've already got their credit card number, and you can literally change the whole economics of your business. I won't go further on that today, except to allow you to ask a few questions before we finish. I have a lot more information for you. A, we have more testing that's taking place. B, we have a lot more math about overstock as compared with eBay that is really interested for those of you that want to get, you know, that deep. And C, we have a literature review, meaning we've studied not only have we written on this subject, but we have been reviewing what's being written all over the Internet and collected the sources and rated them on a scale of, you know, 1 to 5, and they'll all be included with this report that we send out to you. Any questions at this time I can help you with?
If your line is muted, you may have to hit *6 to unmute your line.
Yeah, if you need to hit *6 to unmute, please do that. And in the meantime, while you've got Jalali or the rest of us, if we can help you, fine. If not, we'll let you digest all this. We know it's a lot of information, and we're just trying to get you what you need in order to make a decision. And I have a question for someone.
I have a question.
Go ahead. When you ask a question, can you just tell us your first name? And unless it's secret, tell us your company. If you don't want to tell us your company, you don't have to, but certainly give us at least a first name. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi, my name is Freddie Redfern, and I'm a entrepreneur looking for products to start a business. And so what I've heard here has just really fueled my juices and has gotten me very, very turned on. Is there possibly a place where I could find information, what kind of goods and services I could make available for this outlet that would do well? I'll be honest with you. I like the fact that you're sharing with me that I have to think another way other than the way that I've been working in the brick and mortar world. And I'm willing to change, and I'm willing to learn. But if you can help me, I guess, find goods and services that would work well, I'm definitely open for that.
I would direct you to visit a site. It's run by an MBA who we're doing some research with. What's Kelly's site, Jalali?
It's inventorysource.com.
Inventorysource.com. Yeah. I would go there, first of all, because Kelly's quite sharp, and he's developed a way for you to find inventory that may be effective in these situations. And
well, that's
perhaps
great.
That'll help you. Okay.
Yeah, you guys also did a great job last week on the call. I didn't say anything, but I just wanted to give you thanks about that.
Thank you, Freddie. I appreciate your encouragement. It's we need it. It's a lot of work.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Hang in there.
Okay. All right. Anyone else with a question?
I have some questions.
Yes.
In your statistical analysis of overstock, have you been careful to separate the overstock sales site versus the overstock auction site? They really it's two different channels there.
I would agree with that. Joel, you want to comment on that?
Essentially the test that we did was purely on auctions, and obviously there's I think I mentioned earlier, auctions right now, overstock sort of estimated that, and they haven't released anything, you know, exact numbers, but they're sort of indicating that right now it's approximately 10% of their total traffic is going to auctions. So that's going back to one of the big announcements that they had. They're coming out with an integrated search. So now anyone that comes to overstock.com, which has, you know, a significant amount more traffic than the auctions, is now going to be integrated together. So that's
for example, in the 11.5 million unique visits you're showing that for Overstock. Is that for Overstock? It's a total, or is Overstock auctions?
That's total. So that's the total Overstock.com domain.
That dramatically changes the numbers you present here.
Well, I think it's a good point. I think that the actual experimentation, where we're looking at side-by-side comparisons between eBay and Overstock, we're drawing those numbers from Overstock's auction group in comparison with eBay as an auction group. But in fairness, eBay is more than an auction site itself now. eBay has its own retail and traffic. It has its own store. It's so complex now that they're asking, we've been approached by some of the people with eBay to think about how to help them simplify the presentation of their offering, because it's so there. What we're looking at when we look at the big numbers between Overstock and eBay is we're comparing all of eBay with all of Overstock. When we look at the auctions, we're comparing them side by side. I'll go a step further, and I'll criticize our own data personally by saying I think we're fine as far as eBay and Overstock, but I think where we have to be careful in the data that you're looking at right now in terms of the auctions is this is just one of the microtests that we're running. When we release the full report, we'll have other data, because it's a fairly small microtest sampling that we ran between eBay and Overstock, and we need more data before I'll be completely comfortable and we release the final report. But as far as the big aggregate numbers, those are, you know, they are what they are. So any other questions?
Yeah, this is Carl, and I think you failed to address the big question between Overstock and eBay, and that is, can a clone of eBay overcome the first mover advantage of eBay?
Carl, that information is precisely what we address in the supplement. When you get the report, you'll see that. We didn't get into it here because what we're not doing right now is doing business analysis for the market. We're doing it for the average retailer. We're trying to figure out, do I want to use Overstock or not? However, I have a series of graphs and charts that I have not presented yet that answer the question that I'd want to know, say, if I was an analyst in the marketplace. And that is, you know, what are the chances that Overstock can actually become a threat to eBay? And there's a pressure index that we developed or that we studied based on information that we've gathered. So if you'll wait for the report, you'll see the information we have regarding that also. That is different. Different question that I want to try to address in this particular conference, because most of our readers are, they're not caring about that part.
Getting back to the information you have presented in this conference, you know, you talked about the presenting loss leaders as far as low-priced items and trying to build a repeat customer. You know, I think you're overestimating the brand loyalty that people who go to auction sites have.
Carl, you're wanting to pick a fight with me today. I tell you what, you've got good questions, but I tell you what we should do. I will have, if you'll email Brian, which is editor at MEC, with your thoughts or questions, we'll get with you personally and try to help you with, you know, with your questions. Right now, I just got to be careful that we don't dominate the whole question and answer session with this.
Fine.
So
I'll
email
us,
and we'll get back with you. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I have a question for you.
This is Eric.
Yes.
Can you just repeat what you had said about the customer profile for Overstock? You had said a certain percentage were women, aged, so and so.
Yes, I can. And I've slipped that. I put that portion of my notes here. But essentially, 66% of all Overstock's current shopping customers are women between the ages of 28 and 45 years of age, which is a critical point for our earlier questioner, Freddie, when he was thinking about, well, what is it that I do on, you know, what kind of product would I want to bring if I were bringing it to the Overstock marketplace? Did that answer your question?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. Any other questions in our last few moments here?
This is Brian. I got a question on the demand side. One of the drivers for the eBay marketplace is the incredibly low prices that are ultimately attracting the buyers. I think Bill Cobb references that they're about 30% below average selling prices on other e-commerce sites. Is there a similar dynamic on the Overstock site in terms of price benefit? And secondly, how do you quantify, if you can, the difference in the trust factor, if you consider that the second most important factor, where sellers on eBay have, you know, hundreds of thousands of feedbacks versus the thousands on Overstock, or even hundreds on Overstock?
Yeah, I think that's a fair question, and I think it's two factors that Overstock has to answer, and candidly, I think they have some strategic issues connected to that. Here's one of those. Tell me your first name again. I'm sorry.
I'm Brian with Meister Crane.
Brian. Okay. Brian, I think, number one, Overstock may be able to define a new niche for itself in that, whereas eBay has the advantage of being a marketplace where you're certainly going to find low prices on certain items, it also has had a lot of difficulties in achieving in getting its brand associated with high quality product offerings. Even though there's everything that's of course marketed on eBay, they sell islands on eBay. But the bottom line is they've struggled in those areas, and Overstock wonders, or could wonder, or could consider whether or not it's possible for it to define a new type of brand. And I don't know that even the name Overstock lends itself to this type of brand. But I think there's an opportunity for a marketplace that is specifically tailored to higher end items. And if I was in charge of the strategic group that was trying to say unseat positioning for eBay, and I'm neutral in this whole battle, but my bottom line would be I'd fragment their market by going after sectors that they're underserving. So your first point is well taken, and candidly, I think that that's an issue that Overstock has to deal with. And I think on the second side related to trust, I think that it's true. Trust is huge. I also think that if I can go and find that there's a seller there and he's only had 20 ratings, but those 20 say he's good, there's a certain level of trust. That's enough for many of the average retailers, but it's certainly Overstock has a long way to go to catch up with just the, those two very significant advantages that eBay has carved out for itself. And more than that, there's others. Not to mention, I mean, the fact that eBay's in a position right now to spin their way into a much stronger value proposition, and I don't think they see it, or at least I'm not seeing them recognize it. They're losing. There's a lot of dissatisfaction at eBay right now. I don't think a lot of sellers get into it and recognize the true cost associated with selling an item on eBay. It's quite high, and I think that's where Overstock has a major advantage if they want to play it up correctly.
Thank you.
Okay, and if you got more questions, email us. We'll do our best to try to help you with more in-depth answers. But those are very good points. Any other questions here?
Yeah, I have a question. This is Paul.
Okay, Paul.
I have two questions. Have you done anything like this comparing to other auction sites? And then on your metric there, you have CPM. That's cost per, what does the M stand for?
Million. Or 1,000. CPM is cost per 1,000.
But actually that chart, the CPM is that's incorrect. It's actually that should be cost per page view. CPM would
okay.
be cost per thousand, so it's actually not accurate.
It should be
okay,
what?
So that's cost per page view. July saying that the CPM when in the final report they'll have that corrected to CP or cost per page view, but CPM comes from the Latin milla and it means cost per thousand. It's a standard advertising metric.
Okay.
In this case, however, think of it as cost per page view.
Okay,
and we are comparing other sites, and we're also in looking. I mean, I think it's also a mistake to think of just auction sites. You know, the bigger picture here are marketplaces. You actually need to consider, believe it or not, compare eBay with BizRate, with PriceGrabber, depending on, you know, what your product offering is. Even Overture in its own, in some sense, is a marketplace. Now, I think you'll find that there's distinctive characteristics between them. For instance, a comparison shopping engine generally has higher conversion than, say, Overture or Google, because a person goes into a comparison shopping engine to buy something, A, and B, they're being given a lot of the decision points on the front end of their search. We find over and over again, if conversion is 1.5 in Google, it's likely 2.6 or even higher, sometimes 4, sometimes quite a bit higher in the comparison engines. So I think, you know, we are looking at some other marketplaces But I think that we need to also make sure that when we think marketplace, we don't limit ourselves to thinking just auction sites, because actually you're competing in these other places, and so are the other merchants who you have to contend with. Does that answer your question, sir?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Okay. I think I could take. Go ahead. Go ahead.
If just for a second, in your micro test here, my name's Lawrence, by the way. In your micro test here, none of your items actually sold. Do you have any information on items that, say, traditionally sell very well on eBay? How those sell on Overstock?
Yes. In fact, look for the report that's coming out. The final report that will have the literature review and new data table sets, and we'll tell you more. We have things that we felt our numbers were premature to release them in this part of the conference, but by the time you get this report, we'll be talking about that. And we also have lots of aggregate data comparing these items.
Great.
And we're running, we've run millions in sales through some of these channels, like through eBay in certain categories, and we're testing right now. So we'll be back with more. It's a valid point. Yes, sir. I think I'm going to bring this to a close. Can I get a little feedback from you before we go? Have you found this information helpful? The spreadsheet and the things that we've put together, give us some feedback so we'll know better for you next time. Can someone answer that question?
Flint, Carl,
yes.
Overtech.
Yes, Carl.
I found it extremely interesting. I really did. Regardless of the conclusions that you draw, which I do support in many instances, I think you did a great job on it. And thank you, too, Jolly.
Sure.
Appreciate that. Thank you, Carl. Anyone else? And also, feel free to email us with your thoughts or suggestions, because we're constantly working through this, trying to think of the most effective ways to help you. Go ahead.
Oh, I thought this is my first time participating. I thought it was a little fast. Hey,
okay, a little fast, did you say?
I thought it was a little fast, and it's kind of hard to absorb all that material.
That's probably true. That's probably true. We cover a lot in 60 minutes. All right. Anything else?
Yeah, this is Gary from AccuWeb Hosting. I've been on quite a few of these before in the past, and yeah, it is overwhelming, but it's usually very good. It opens your eyes up to certain things that you're not aware of, and their reports that they send out afterwards, they're definitely worth going into, because there's a lot more information and you can really absorb it at that point as well. So I usually take these as an introductory type of conference, and then when the actual reports do come out, you can go back in and take a look at them, and they really do a wonderful job. I don't think, a lot of people don't appreciate them as they should, but they're really fabulous people and they do an excellent job with all the research.
Well, thank you. We may have to send you over a job offer or something. That's very kind of you, Gary. I appreciate it. All right, well, thank you. And we'll keep working and trying to get the information. I think this new research we're going to be talking about in optimizing your pay-per-click ads is going to be quite fascinating for many of us that are in the search engines. We've been doing a lot of study there, and we've got a lot more coming. So with that in mind, I think I could really jump the gun and end with one final announcement, which some of you may or may not be aware of. Nick Osborne, many of you know him, he's probably the number one copywriter on the net. Nick is joining our lab full-time and is going to be working with us, researching copywriting and writing opportunities, web communication, lots of research connected to that. Nick's written probably the number one book on writing for the web, and look for more research in the future focused on, the words that are on your web page and that are in your emails as we continue to work through all of this thing. So thank you. We'll keep working. And we'll talk to you all again soon.